Hello, hello, and welcome to the Gardner Carney Leadership Institute podcast. The GCLI has developed the pedagogy of leadership, which combines brain science, leadership studies, cultural competency, and developmental psychology. Its mission is to teach teachers to teach leadership to students. This is your go-to podcast for discussions, tips, and stories for leadership and leadership education. And I am your host, Catherine Birdie, but please call me Birdie. Our world is in dire need of people just like you, people who are committed to building communities of leaders, young and old. So let's get busy leading the next generation of leaders, and thank you for joining us. I have the good fortune of sitting with Dr. Natalie Sims, who is here to reflect on 20 years of the GCLI, or a portion of those 20 years. And I'm going to start with a quick question. How long have you been involved with the GCLI, Natalie?
I came as a participant to GCLI in 2012, not really knowing what to expect of the GCLI. And when I came, it was apparent that I wanted to become involved in something like this for a very long time. So I made and kept connections and then came back 3 years later as a scholar in 2015 and have since then become part of the organization itself and being the director of social media. And I've been coming back to the lab for about 5 years now.
And in that time, your experience, how has it evolved? Oh, excuse me. Scratch that. We're going to, at 1 minute, we're going to edit. In your experience, how has the GCLI evolved to remain relevant in leadership education?
I think that's a great question. When I came in 2012, I was not aware that when I was participating as a participant only, I realized throughout the week that I was the only lower or elementary school person who was here. I was amongst administrators and athletic directors and division heads and heads of school. And for myself, it was an extremely valuable learning experience because I was surrounded by so many people with more experience than I had in independent schools. But I was also wondering about the connections that I could potentially make as a participant or future participants could make with other people who were from similar roles. And so the evolution of the GCLI since I have been a participant has been to not only instruct on leadership practices and patterns, but it's also become more inclusive of roles within independent schools. It's become more relevant in understanding what those roles require of people who are present in each of the labs that we have here. And the work that is done here ties into what's happening in the real world, in schools, day to day, and what teachers are really grappling with, or educators, administrators, and allowing them to collaborate in a way that they would at their own schools to kind of try and come up with the best solutions to problems or to create dynamic ideas that they can take back to their campus.
Yeah, it's a remarkable model for collaboration. And people, you know, self-select to come, but they're willing to collaborate and they see how beautifully it works in school settings. I want to go back to something you said real quickly. There wasn't much at elementary education, you were the only elementary school educator. I have loved talking to you over the years as a teacher who's mainly taught high school students about what we can learn from elementary school kids. And can you just give us another nod to that type of leader and what they have to teach all of us?
Yeah, I think I can go back to a core memory of mine that happened as a participant in 2012. We were in a particular session about brain science, and there was a real learning experience that was being presented that the brain develops faster between the years of 0 and 12, or birth and 12, than most other years in a child's life. And as I was looking around the room, I realized that I was one of the only people, or one of the few folks, early middle school folks included, that really have an impact on students at that point in time in their lives. And so I actually felt a very big sense of responsibility in helping shape the way that these students were able to learn and develop and be okay with failure and learn to take risks and learn to kind of go outside of their comfort zones so that I could prime them for those experiences that they would most certainly have in later middle school and upper school. So I think for me, that was a core moment where I realized that I needed to do this work so that you could.
Yes, so that I could. And in that same vein, that was back in the Joanne Deak era. And I cannot thank her enough for the fantastic elastic brain.
The
rubber bands. And the children's book. Yep. I mean, it made me understand myself, first of all. Yep. I'd never heard that. And honestly, at the time, I did not understand how in the world it fit into this thing called the pedagogy of leadership. But man,
every school year, I go and buy a rubber band ball at the beginning of the year, and I keep it at the front of the room for the kids to see. And we talk about how when things are hard, that's when we're learning. And it's my job to make things just a little bit uncomfortable so that kids know that what they're doing is not within their comfort zone or not easy, but also not so hard that they're going to get to the point of frustration and, you know, that little flip of the lid that Joanne did for us. But I think when kids understand how they learn and why they learn certain ways, they are willing to go above and beyond what they think is possible. They're willing to do a little bit more for you, which then in essence gives you a much more meaningful school year with your kids, no matter how old they are. But rubber band ball. Thanks, Joanne.
Yep. And thank you to every elementary school teacher who primes the pump so that those of us who teach high school can do our work as well.
So what's been super cool for me to watch is in 2012, I sat down and I said, there's a real opportunity for educators to come and do this work with you. Let's start thinking about potentially inviting some lower school folks to GCLI. In 2015, I came back as a scholar, and there was a small cohort of lower, middle, and elementary school teachers, and it was awesome. The conversations were relevant. Everybody was making connections to upper school teachers, deans, division heads, and it became apparent that this work was relevant for preschool through 12th grade. And so I presented at the symposium that was held on Columbia University's campus that same year about all the things that we were doing in lower school classrooms, things that I was doing with my own students. And it's just grown from there. And it's just been so exciting and personally gratifying to see that my folks are getting a chance at seeing what this work can do in their own classrooms.
I love it. All right. Next question.
Okay.
Feedback. Yeah. Feedback. It's a big, 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 big part of what we do, giving and receiving feedback. Mm-hmm. What about feedback, giving and receiving it, has changed for you over the years?
I think when I came here in 2012, I was still not quite a new teacher, but I was a young teacher who's learning how I could be a better teacher and how I could be my best self. And so I was seeking feedback, but wasn't always comfortable giving it, especially to those who were in roles that were superior to my own as just a teacher. And my arc of the experience has just been to watch some of the masterful ways that the faculty here has received and given feedback. I remember one instance. I was as a scholar, I was doing a session with Jeremy, and a participant very honestly gave some feedback to Jeremy that was unexpected, that required us to kind of stop the session and address this particular feedback. And for me, it was a masterclass in being uncomfortable as a leader, hearing feedback from someone. And then Jeremy and I actually debriefed afterwards, and I shared with him what that experience did for me and how that example resonated with me. And what stuck out with me during that debrief is that he shared with me what a gift it was that someone gave him that feedback. It was like, gift? This guy just essentially ruined our night and derailed our whole plan. How is this a gift? And we had a really good conversation about how being vulnerable with someone and is a testament to the relationship and also a gift because everyone grows. And so I have become more comfortable finding ways to respectfully and honorably give the gift of feedback to people whom I deeply respect and honor and trust. And therefore, I've gotten much more meaningful relationships within the school setting with my students, with the parents of my students and families, with my colleagues, with my admin. And so I've just learned the beauty of feedback and what it can do for the growth of relationships and the depths of the work that you can do once that relationship is established.
I could not agree more. And it is, for me, it's the tenet that I have to work on the most. When I'm here, it is the highest form of love and the biggest compliment to get feedback. But when I'm in a culture where that is not the case, I'm not as comfortable and I don't always see it as a gift. And that's on me, because mm-hmm. ultimately it's the same gift, and I can take that gift or I can not accept that gift. And I love how Jeremy talks about that as well. But that's my growing edge is feedback. But it does, the depth of the relationship and the level of trust and commitment to whatever you're trying to accomplish.
I think one thing you just mentioned actually resonates a little bit. We haven't quite talked about the vulnerability of the participants here at GCLI and the growing edge that we kind of share in our introductions. And I think that's part of the reason why giving and receiving feedback here is so not only focused on, but almost desired by everyone who is here when they're here for the entirety of their experience, because the feedback is so focused on A, giving you feedback on something that is a strength of yours and showing and asking you where you might apply it in other settings, but then also the vulnerability of being able to say, this is a growing edge of mine and I would really like some help with this or some feedback on this, on how I can grow. So it's a place where I come to grow every year because I know I'm going to get the feedback I so need and want. But also I think the vulnerability is important to highlight here because there is a space that's created where people can authentically show up, get and receive the feedback or give the feedback that they have, but it's received in such a way that it's never judgmental. It's never a source of angst. It's always just wrapped with a bow, mm-hmm. and it's really beautifully done. It's not done like this anywhere else that I've ever been.
It's same here, and I wonder what the world would be like if everyone could understand and accept it. And it is a personal thing, but it's also we do make that space culturally for it to exist here and teach it here and model it here and grow from it here in a lab. I think let's talk about that for a second. Mm-hmm. It's a lab. I mean, observable behaviors that, and unless you state it, name it, it's like it doesn't exist, right? But here we observe it and we work adapt. With it. We adapt. We work with it. We grow and change and take it back to our communities. And hopefully, ultimately, it ends with the students before us. Right. And I think that's just that's awesome. So, last question.
Okay.
Kind of a two-parter. At this moment, this relates to as well. At this moment, what is the most essential leadership practice that the world needs right now, and how do you think the GCLI teaches or reinforces this?
That's a really great question. I think right now the world and the leaders within the world are busy. Everyone is busy. And I think right now what we need as leaders and what we should be teaching our students is that it is okay to slow down and listen and process. And this is definitely a growing edge of mine, so this is a very vulnerable and personal answer, but we so often just hurry through a conversation and then move on to the next thing, or meeting, or email, or phone call, or student concern, or parent conversation, without taking time to process what we just talked about with someone. And I think providing time for both ourselves and our students to process what is happening throughout their day, process their emotions, process their feelings, process a conversation they have with each other or with you, I think it's okay to just pause every once in a while. And I think the GCLI does that in a really beautiful way by reminding folks when we talk, we input, we process, and then we output. And so in some form or fashion throughout the day, we're receiving information, they're providing us a time, or participants are given a time when they can process that, what it means for them in the context of their family, in their job, their roles, their community. And then we output, which allows us to reflect on the group as a whole. Sometimes in small groups, we might hear ideas that we haven't heard of or thought of yet, and it helps make our own ideas even better and more robust. So I think for me, that is the most important thing we can think of right now, because if we're able to just pause and process, we can be more open-minded, we can be better listeners, we can think through things without reacting while we're deregulated emotionally. So I think that would be my best answer right now.
I love that answer right now. Thank you. So cheers to 20 years of the GCLI.
I have to say GCLI completely transformed me as a professional and probably my entire career track. Some of the people I admire most in my entire life, professional and personal, are in this organization. And the deep care with which people and participants are held when they are here to do significant learning so that they can go back to schools and transform the learning for their students is remarkable. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention the impact that this organization has had on me, both personally and professionally.
Ditto. Ditto, ditto. Well, I hope that well beyond my time here and your time here, and it is these ideas and these models and these frameworks really get out into the world, and we need the entire community to make that happen.
Agreed.
It's good stuff.
Thanks, Birdie.
Thank you.
Thank y'all for joining us today, and we'll see you in 2 weeks' time. Until then, visit us at GCLIleadership.org and follow us on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. You'll find all of our links at the bottom of our podcast. And until then, lead on.